I am Izell Robinson, Minnesota inmate number 210006, an innocent man confined within the quadrilaterals of systemic injustice, fighting to be heard and affect positive change. Today I want to share with you, it's called A Candid Response to the introduction section of the book, Thanks for the Feedback, The Science and Art of Receiving Feedback Well. As a participant in treatment, I am beginning to learn that giving and receiving feedback is an essential part of the treatment process to affect engaged change. Therefore, the treatment staff has recommended a book on understanding how to receive feedback, which is an area of struggle for most people entering treatment. The book begins with a section titled From Push to Pull, which assisted me in recognizing that self-esteem, stress, knowledge, and awareness are all effects of receiving feedback, especially due to the possibility of feedback being awkward, annoying, or perceived wrong. If in fact you're at all like me, often resistant to challenges, considerations, or understandings of whatever see of you. Maybe as the book suggests, when receiving feedback, I can try to use it to fuel insight and growth. However, I can admit that for me, that's easier said than done, because I have found it tough to receive critical feedback versus praise. I like to be liked and have good things said about me, so I may become that person that the book warns when receiving tough feedback is upset and defensive. And it ends up less motivating for me, not more. In recognition of this, I am attempting to examine the why about me through this book's A. I have to focus on me to better understand my why, because the book asserts that the key player is not the giver, but the receiver of feedback. My issue isn't with giving feedback as much as it is with receiving feedback. I have to develop an appreciation for feedback by understanding what the book answers as what counts as feedback. The book reveals the things that count as feedback as any information you get about yourself, how we learn about ourselves from our experience and other people, how we learn from life, and comments and reactions. Yet I've personally viewed feedback at times as pointing of the finger to place fault or attacking of my character and integrity. Interestingly, the book says feedback plays a crucial role in developing talents, improving morale, aligning teams, solving problems, and boosting the bottom line. I've experienced some of the above things through participation in sports, on jobs, and at school. Nevertheless, I've rarely got that benefit of those above rudiments through feedback I've received in treatment. In treatment, at times, I've easily perceived feedback to be unauthentic and more of a nitpicking. As a result, I notice myself more prone to meet feedback directed towards others or myself with resistance or even outright rejection. This is most likely why the book asserts that the receivers of the feedback are in control of what they do and don't let in, how they make sense of what they're hearing, and whether they choose to change. Still, I would argue that most things in life is about choice, and choosing to accept or look at what's being said by others can be a possible conductor for change. At times, I have witnessed how receiving feedback can give positional advantage when one is aware of how they may affect others or make things harder on themselves through miscommunication or warped perceptions, especially when a book points out that the real leverage is creating pull. It describes creating pull as mastering the skills required to drive our own learning. It's about how to recognize and manage our own resistance, how to engage in feedback conversations with confidence and curiosity, and even when feedback seems wrong, how to find insight that might help us grow. Moreover, it says it's also about how to stand up for who we are and how we see the world and ask what we need. Now, I've always prided myself on being boldly outspoken and standing up for myself. Yet I realize I often lack the ability to ask for what I need, an area I must work on. Plus, creating Pool is said to be about how to learn from feedback. Yes, even when it's off base, unfair, poorly delivered, and frankly, you're not in the mood. In treatment, I have found myself motivated to learn thinking errors, schemas, seven desires at a heart, ripple effects, and cycles. And I've realized to learn or understand those things, it involves me learning from feedback and understanding it. The book alerts that understanding by declaring that the key variable in our growth is not anyone else but you. It cautions that if we're serious about growth and improvement, we have no choice but to get good at learning from just about anyone. I like the slogan where it says you can learn a lot from a dummy. Still, learning from just about anyone is something I continue to struggle with because I allow my own judgments or beliefs to become a blocker. I tend to think that the person giving me feedback doesn't understand my plight or our plights have never been the same, which becomes that blocker or filter, enhancing my thinking distortions of polarized thinking, catastrophizing, and compartmentalizing. At times, I can agree with the book when it states that learning about ourselves can be painful because at times I don't want to revisit the pain, abuse, or regret that has shaped me. To add to that, sometimes learning about others' opinions of me at a time that I am sensitive to feedback, I notice can be very painful, sometimes brutally so, and the feedback is often delivered in a forehead-slapping awareness that I may not be ready to hear or understand it because I'm angered or triggered over my own mistakes. This anger or triggering that consumes me is because I want better for myself. Therefore, I can resonate with the point that the book declares. In addition to our desire to learn and improve, we long for something else that is fundamental, to be loved, accepted, and respected just as we are. I feel that I have battled for those things most of my life in communications and interactions with family and others. And I know for me, one of my main triggers is feelings of rejection. That's closely tied to my abandonment issues. Further touching on triggers, the book informs that receiving feedback well is about managing your emotional triggers so that you can take in what other people are telling you. And being open to seeing yourself in ways is about setting boundaries and saying no. As a result, I can understand why a treatment plan would consist of individual action goals and plans to identify, challenge, and be aware of triggers. Additionally, I believe if I can learn to identify, challenge, and be aware of my triggers associated around receiving tough feedback and emotional triggers in general, then as the book asserts, a lot of my interactions will come to feel a little less threatening. The book makes the claim feedback-seeking behavior is linked to higher job satisfaction, greater creativity on the job, faster adaption of new organizations or role, and lower turnover. And seeking out negative feedback is associated with higher performance ratings. However, I must admit, I am a bit skeptical of how this feedback-seeking strategy can be applicable to everyday life outside of the workplace, and also in my current situation as a participant or patient in a treatment program. This question only arises in me because, like myself, I don't believe any other person would be enthusiastic about purposefully going about to seek out negative feedback. I know that I assume many others don't like hearing negative feedback about self. I was taught at an early age to always accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative completely because that'll bring success. But now I feel this book is telling me to accentuate both the positive and negative and eliminate at the point of corrective action. That's taken to better self. And if that's what it's saying, I'm open to considering it. Now, the book also hits on another area of struggle for me, giving and receiving feedback in personal relationships. In dating relationships or with family, I have deflected, dismissed, and ignored complaints or advice because of my distorted thinking or schema that I can always find a way to fix a problem. Even if I fully am not openly acknowledging it. As the book reveals, I've been a part of the whole relationships. We get frustrated with each other. We hurt each other accidentally and on occasion on purpose. I believe mainly because I grew up in a household where I was both emotionally and physically traumatized and abused as a child and preteen. Then as an adult, I found myself dating women that were emotionally or physically abusive towards me, and me taking the abuse with the belief that I could somehow change them or things will get better. I did not recognize in my past what the book highlights, that our ability to sort out how we're feeling, why we're upset, where we are bumping into one another, drives the long-term health and happiness of those relationships. Honestly, I've had sporadic bursts of happiness in my past relationships with family and significant others, but something always felt unfulfilled, and healthy relationships are something I rarely saw because I never witnessed it growing up. That's probably why I've got caught in the desire to become a fixer or helper of everyone else. Or maybe it's a distorted belief that I carry that being a fixer or helper will give a relationship meaning and value. The book asserts that a person's willingness and ability to accept influence and input is a key predictor of healthy, or what I might say is stability. This is something that I need to examine more and learn to make applicable in my life. I say this because I ran away from home as a preteen, practically raising myself on the streets and experiencing life the hard way. Yet I found a way to find success on my own as a result of doing things on my own for so long. At times, it's a struggle for me to trust others and accept influence and input.
You have 1 minute remaining.
In short, being in a treatment environment, I am beginning to understand that I have to let go of the thinking that my thoughts and advice is all that should matter to me, or is only what's best for me. I can see how that's a bit narcissistic. I know I don't want to continue depriving myself of the chance to know what's going wrong in my life or to fix it. Treatment has introduced me to this book and is helping me recognize my important thoughts and feelings that previously had no outlet. And for me, having no outlet led to a path of depression, constant emotional deregulation, chemical coping, sexual coping, unhealthy relationships, and eventually criminal behaviors. All my issues compiled or festered because I never learned how to give or receive critical feedback. Thank you for your time, and I hope this has been of value to you as it has been of to me. And I look forward to the next time that I can leave you.
Thank you for using GTL.